Okay, we're going to get started, everyone, but we are not going to jump right in, so if anyone is still trying to get their sitter, so we'll have a few more seconds. So welcome back to our Experience Shabbat Shir. This is, forgive me for saying it, but this is Nittelnacht, so it's not necessarily so appropriate for us to be learning Torah, but right, there's an idea that maybe you shouldn't learn Torah and Nittelnacht, maybe you should be doing something else, but hopefully we'll be forgiven, because our passion for Torah is just so beyond that we need to learn. So let's begin. So we are going to speak a little bit about Shabbos Shacharis, the goal is that this week, for the purposes of this year, I think we might have spent a little bit too long on Kabbalah Shabbos, just because I think that there are a lot of aspects to it, and it took longer, it took three shiurim. My goal is, though, that in the next three shiurim, that we'll finish the rest of the Shabbos davening. So this week we're going to speak about Shabbos Shacharis, next week, God willing, we'll speak about Shabbos Musaf, and then the following week after that, we'll speak about Mincha, and then we'll move on to other topics. The reason why it's going to be so much shorter for the rest of the topics is because of the fact that we're really going to be speaking about very small segments, right? Kabbalah Shabbos from beginning to end, there are so many interesting things, so many different things that we do on Friday night. However, when it comes to Shabbos morning, when you talk about those things which are exclusive to Shabbos morning and no other holiday or no other time in which we are davening, well, the truth is there is not that much that is different. Psuki de Zimra, the Psuki de Zimra that we say, the loftier, longer Psuki de Zimra, so that is just what we do on Shabbos, and we do on Yom Tov as well. We do that because we have more time to praise Hashem, so we spend more time praising Hashem. When it comes to the laning, of course, the laning is going to be unique, but we're not going to spend so much time talking about that because that is more, that's not really the davening per se. And so when it comes down to it, if we break up the entire morning service in half, right, Musaf on one side and Shacharis on the other side, so Shacharis, that which is different, is really just three central things. One is the notion of Shochein Ad, right? We start the prayer, if you have the same sitter as me, if you have the regular R-scroll sitter, then it's page 404. And so when you start from Shochein Ad, so even though Shochein Ad is said both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov as well, what is different about this on Shabbos is that we specifically start at Shochein Ad on Shabbos. So we'll speak a little bit about why we start there. Then there are many additional tefillos that we add only on Shabbos in terms of the Birchos Kriya Shema, right? The regular Birchos Kriya Shema has several segments that are part of it, whether it's during the week or whether it's on Shabbos or whether it's on Yom Tov. But then there are a few paragraphs that we add only if it's on Shabbos. So we'll speak a little bit about that. And then, of course, we'll spend some time speaking about Shemona Esrei as well, that middle blessing that has four paragraphs there that are different than the rest of the Shabbos davenings and different than any other Shemona Esrei. So we'll spend some time speaking about that as well. So let's begin with the beginning over here, with the fact that we started Shochein Ad. We know that there are a few different potential places to start with over here, right? We go from Psuki to Zimmer, then we go into the Nishmas prayer. Once we finish Nishmas, once we get to the end of Nishmas, so the question is, when does the Chazan then pick up and start leading davening? So there are three possibilities. There's one, the possibility to start from the words Hakel B'Ta'atzumot. If you're in the same sitter as me, that's on the bottom of page 402. That's where we start when we're doing our Yontif davenings. If it's Rosh Hashanah, then we'll start from the word Hamelech. If it is Shabbos, we start from the words Shochein Ad. So why do we start from the words Shochein Ad? So the Tashbit, as quoted Rabbi Ephraim Epstein in his new book, Davening Divine. Thank you to Jan Levine for lending me the book for a little bit. So he says in this book, quoting the Tashbit, that we start at Shochein Ad, particularly because Shochein Ad is more relevant to Shabbos than any of the other times in which we might get up to start leading davening. So just to take a step back, because I think it may be a little bit more compelling to explain the other reasons. So why do we start with Hamelech on Rosh Hashanah? We start with the word Hamelech on Rosh Hashanah because of the fact that Rosh Hashanah is all about the coronation day. It's the fact that we are crowning God as king. So of course we're going to start with Hamelech because that is the central theme of the day. When it comes to Yant, if we talk about Hakel B'Ta'atzumot Uzecha, we talk about the great strength of God. That's where we start. Why do we start with that on Yantif? Because usually Yantif is about celebrating the strength and the miracles and the fact that God has done wonders for us, and that's why we have holidays that correspond to those miracles. Why do we start with Shochein Ad Maro Mekadosh Shemo on Shabbos? Why do we start with the words, just to look at the R Scroll translation, He who abides forever exalted and holy? Why do we, and holy is His name, why do we start with those words? So the Tashbit basically explains that when you think about Shabbos, what is the central theme of Shabbos? Well, there are many different aspects to it, but more than anything else, it's the fact that God is the creator of the world, and that God is actively involved in continuously creating the world day in and day out since the beginning of time until now, and God, you know, for infinity. And when you think about God as the constant ruler and the constant creator, then there's only a few words that come to mind when you think about that, and that is that God is wondrous, God is amazing. So therefore, we start with the words Shochein Ad Marom, because those emphasize the greatness, the wondrousness, the exaltedness with which God rules, that he has been ruling since the beginning of time until now. So that is why we start with Shochein Ad. Following Shochein Ad, again, these are pretty consistent tefillos that we say both on Shabbos and Yantif, right? We go to Uvim Akalos, that's the next paragraph, and then we conclude with Yishtabach, which of course we say every day of the week, no matter whether it's Shabbos, Yantif, or the weekday. Then we continue into Shema with the Birchos Kriya Shema, and if you're in the same sitter as me, on page 408, here is where it gets a little bit more unique for Shabbos in particular, because we have the blessing, or the prayer, I don't know exactly how to constitute it, but I guess it's a part of a blessing. It's called Hakol Yoducha. Literally Hakol, that everyone Yoducha is going to be thanking Hashem. So what the Mefarshim point out over here is Hakol Yoducha has four different four different segments at the beginning and four different segments at the end, and that these two are parallel to one another. So if you look at each of these segments one by one, you'll see that there is a clear intention to parallel both the beginning of this paragraph and the end of this paragraph. So if you look with me now, page 408, again, if you're in the Arash Kol Siddur, Hakol Yoducha, so that's the first statement that we're making to God. Hakol Yoducha, everyone is going to thank God. What are we thanking God for? Because we recognize all that God has done for us. So everyone is going to thank God. That's the first step of this blessing. V'hakol yishabchucha. What does yishabchucha mean? It means we're going to praise God. Everyone's going to praise God. In particular, why are we praising him? Because we're noting that we praise God no matter what the situation is. When there are good times, and even when there are bad times, we praise God no matter what. So the first step is that we thank God for all the good. The second step is that we praise God for both good and the bad. V'hakol yomru in kadosh kahashem. And everyone says that there is no one as holy as Hashem is. So what is this all about? This is about recognizing and praising Hashem, that we know that there is no other God quite like Hashem. So we begin by thanking Hashem for all the good. We then go into praising Hashem for all things in our life, whether it's good or bad. Then we continue by saying that Hashem is the holiest of all things in this world, and that's why we are so honored to be subservient to him. And then finally, Hakol Yerumimu Chasela. The pinnacle of this recognition of who God is when we say that all will exalt you. So again, let's just run through it one more time. We begin by thanking God for the good. We then praise God for the good and the bad. We then say, wow, God, you are the holiest, and there's nothing holier than you, nothing that comes even close to you. And HaKol Yerumimu Chasela, because of all that, everyone is going to get up and exalt you. Everyone is going to want to constantly praise your greatness. That's how we begin. And again, this makes a lot of sense that we are using and reciting a blessing or a prayer like this on Shabbos, because Shabbos is all about the connection that we have with the Almighty. And if that's the case, then we want to continuously show how amazing the Almighty actually is. If you go to the end of this paragraph, which would be on the bottom of page 408, there are four other statements that are parallel to these opening four hakols. And that is as follows. It's like four lines from the bottom of the prayer where the chazan would pick up. So first is ein, five lines up from the bottom. So we say ein kerkecha ve'ein zulasecha efes biltcha umi domelach. Right. So there are these four different segments over here in this one of the later sentences in the paragraph that are meant to parallel the beginning where we say the four different types of hakol. So what are these different segments meant to teach us? So one is ein kerkecha. So one is the fact that no one is like you in this world, right? Ein kerkecha. There is no one that has the same value as you in this world. Ve'ein zulasecha. And not only is there no one like you, but there's also no one but you. No one but you. Where? Well, no one. There's no one but God in the world to come. Meaning, in this world, there are lots of distractions and other things. But in the world to come, it's clear there's no one but you. Efes biltcha. There's like nothing without you. Which that means that in the days of Mashiach, we're talking now, thinking about the redemption. In the days of Mashiach, there is not going to be anyone but God. Umi domelach. And then this is meant to represent the Tzchias HaMisim, the resurrection of the dead at the end of time, that we're saying that there is no one who can do like what God can do, no one comparable to him, because he is going to be able to bring back the dead, and no one else can do such things. So again, we start this paragraph by saying how great you are, Hashem, and all the reasons why we're praising you and exalting you, and we conclude it by saying there are so many different segments to how we conceptualize what God is, and the central idea is that we conceptualize that there is basically nothing even comparable to God on so many levels, because there's no one like him in this world, right? Even if there are other entities that we see, that's all a mirage, but because there's nothing as great and nothing as amazing as God. And then when it comes to all the other aspects of the beyond the Olam Hazeh, beyond this world, there's nothing else other than God in the world to come. There's nothing else other than God in the times of Mashiach, and there's nothing else, no one else who can act quite like God in terms of bringing back the dead, in terms of the Tchias HaMesim. So all of that is what we're trying to understand and realize as we say this prayer of Hakol Yoducha, right? So it's a lot of words, and if you go to most shuls, you probably can say this thing in about 15 seconds, but maybe it's worthwhile to say this in a little bit more than 15 seconds, because there is so much value of what this blessing is all about. It's all about saying how greatly we view Hashem and how exalted Hashem is. Then we go to page 410, to one of the finer blessings of Shema, of Kel Adon. The reason why Kel Adon is so exciting for so many people, well, I guess it depends whether you like singing or not, but if you like singing, Kel Adon is so exciting, because you always get to find out what the shul is going to sing, what tune they're going to use. Of course, one of the terrible things we lament in these times is the fact that our shul, we choose to sing only a couple of things, and Kel Adon is not one of those things, so we are not singing Kel Adon these days, but we longingly await for the time when we can sing Kel Adon once again. But Kel Adon is actually a very, very beautiful poem. If for no other reason, what we see so distinctly about it, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but the fact that it goes as an alphabetical acrostic, that we are using every single letter of the alphabet to talk about the greatness of Hashem. And again, continuing in this theme and talking about the greatness of Hashem. So the Avudraham, he breaks down this paragraph and he explains what the hidden meaning behind so many aspects of it. I saw this quoted in several places. So the Avudraham says as follows. First of all, if you look at the first clause, so the first clause is Kel Adon Al Kol Hamasim Baruch Mevorach B'fi Kol Neshama. That's 10 words. That's the opening clause. Why is the opening clause 10 words? So says the Avudraham, because the opening 10 words are meant to represent, this opening clause is meant to represent for us the Ten Commandments, right? Because we're beginning to talk about all the things that Hashem, about what makes Hashem great, and obviously that's an infinite list, but we're trying to focus on those things that are in particular relevant for us now in the day of Shabbos. The fact that God gave us the Ten Commandments, one of them, of course, being the commandment to keep Shabbos, is so relevant to us on this day. So we begin by saying in this opening clause, 10 words to represent the Ten Commandments that we received. Then if you look at the closing clause, I think it's the last 2 lines. So Shevach Nosnim Lo Kol Tziva Marom Teferis Ugedula Srafim V'Ofanim V'Chayos Hakodesh. That's 12 words. Why are there 12 words in this closing part of this paragraph? So there are kind of two different perspectives over here. One is that maybe it represents the 12 different constellations of the 12 different zodiac signs, but sort of parallel to that and connected to that, as we've seen in the eyes of our brothers here, that whenever we talk about the 12 constellations, we also are always paralleling that to the 12 tribes as well. So it seems clear that these last 12 words are meant to parallel the 12 tribes. Why is that so? Why are these things connected? Why do we have the 10 commandments in the beginning and the 12 tribes at the end? So, we have to bring up one other aspect, and that is that if you look at the middle part, and that is, meaning after those first 10 words, and after those last 12 words, how many words are there in the middle? So the way that Avudraham explains it is that there are, there are 9 more statements, each of them with 8 words. If you multiply 8 times 9, how many words is that? 72. Why is 72 such a valuable number? Scream it out while you're on mute. And the answer, of course, they're all screaming out is because the 72 letter name of Hashem. So therefore, if we realize that the middle is meant to represent the name of Hashem, then basically the paragraph looks as follows. The opening 10 words represent the 10 commandments. The closing 12 words represent the 12 tribes. And the middle aspect represents Hashem. one more aspect, and that is that we, of course, we said at the beginning that this paragraph is broken down by the Aleph-Bet. Why is it broken down by the Aleph-Bet? So the Abu Draham explains further that it's meant to show us that just like we have these 22 letters, that make up the entirety of the Hebrew alphabet over here, so too was the Torah using the entirety of the Hebrew alphabet when Hashem gave us His beautiful Torah. Ultimately, what you see from over here is that this paragraph is meant to represent for us a paradigm of what Shabbos is all about, meaning that Shabbos is all about three things: Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people. Namely, that Hashem gave the Torah to us, to the Jewish people, on Shabbos. And therefore, in this paragraph, we see all of those themes commingling over here to bring home this idea that Shabbos is all about recognizing that Hashem gave us His gift. We call it the Torah, and therefore we keep Shabbos as a result of all of that which happened. Finally, with that, I know we're already 16 minutes in, but let's just try to finish up over here, but we'll go a little bit more quickly. So after all that, so those were some of the unique aspects of the Birchos Kriya Shema. Let's now go to the Shabbos morning Shmona Esrei. So I'm going to continue now on page 424. So as we said previously, so you have the opening three blessings of the Shmona Esrei, and the closing three blessings, and that's the same no matter when we are davening. It's always those opening three and closing three. What's different, of course, on Shabbos, and what changes from tefillah to tefillah, from Friday night to Shacharis to Musaf to Mincha, is this middle paragraph, or this middle blessing. And on Shabbos morning, we have four paragraphs over here in the middle. So again, if you have the same sitter as me, it's page 424, and you'll note that, as we mentioned last time, that the final paragraph, the fourth paragraph, Elokeinu, is basically identical. Is basically identical in every single one of the tefillos, except for the one word of bo, right? That we say ba, va on Friday night, we say vo on Shabbos day, and then at mincha we say vam, and we've said that represents the different aspects, perhaps, of the marriage that we have, the Jewish people have with Hashem, and that's why we use a different tense. This paragraph otherwise is going to be the same in every tefillah except for that word. But then you have these top three paragraphs, and these top three paragraphs, Yismach Moshe, Veshamer V'nei Yisrael, and V'lo Nesato, these three paragraphs are unique only to Shabbos morning Shacharis. The only time we ever say these three paragraphs are in Shabbos morning Shacharis. He'll say to me, well, that's not true, because we actually use the paragraph of Veshamru on Friday night as well, but this is the only time in which we say the paragraph of Veshamru in our Shmona Esrei. So what are we supposed to take away from all these different paragraphs? So let's go one by one over here. I'm not going to go and translate what all these things are, and you also will have Sidurim in front of you to translate them, so you don't need me to do that. But what we're going to do is try to understand very briefly some of the themes that are relevant to each of these paragraphs and understand why we are saying these paragraphs on Shabbos morning. So we begin. Actually, before we do that, let's just briefly explain what the theme is of all of these paragraphs. So Yismach Moshe, the theme is Moshe brings down the Luchos to the Jewish people. Vishamru is specifically honing in on the fact that the Jewish people have an obligation to keep Shabbos, and that it's an oath, and that it's a sign between God and the Jewish nation. Velo Netato speaks about the exclusivity of Shabbos to the Jewish nation. And the last paragraph of Elokeinu, which again, we say it every Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, is when we ask God for our spiritual needs, and we spoke about last time how we specifically ask God only for our spiritual needs on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a sort of a day when that makes the most sense, because we don't care about the physical, we only care about the spiritual. So let's now again focus a little bit more in depth on the first paragraph of Yismach Moshe. So if Yismach Moshe, if this is true, that it's a paragraph that's all about Moshe bringing down the Luchos, what in the world is the relevance of bringing down the Luchos on Shabbos, right? We mentioned that the Ten Commandments and the blessing of Kael Adon, and now we're talking again about Moshe bringing down the Luchos. Why do we care about the Luchos on Shabbos? Well, the answer is because we receive the Torah on Shabbos, and if we receive the Torah on Shabbos, then it's so fitting that we should talk about receiving the Torah on Shabbos. We specifically receive the Torah on Shabbos morning, so you should talk about receiving the Torah on Shabbos morning. That makes a lot of sense. However, you'll note then not only do we talk about receiving the Torah, but we also talk about the fact that we also sort of are very focused on Moshe. What an odd idea to spend our Shmona Esrei to be focused on Moshe. We don't really have that. We don't usually focus on biblical characters so much in our regular Shmona Esrei. So why are we focused on Moshe? Yismach Moshe, right? That Moshe was so happy. Moshe was so excited. Why are we focusing on Moshe so much? So three potential reasons. One is the fact that Moshe was the one who received the Torah on behalf of the Jewish people. He was the one who went up to Har Sinai, so he was the one who received the Torah, and that's what we want to talk about, so he is the natural person who we should be speaking about. The second reason is actually the Maharal quotes this idea. It's more of like a Nagadic passage, Nagadic idea, that Paro came over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, or rather, Moshe went over to Paro, and he said, Paro, I know you want to keep the slaves, fine, keep the slaves, do whatever you want with the Jewish nation, but like any good worker, like any good boss, you need to be able to give your workers one day off a week. You give them one day off a week, and they'll be able to relax a little bit. Paro says, you know what, that's actually not a bad idea, you're right, I will actually increase their ability to work if they get one day of rest. So he says, Moshe, which day of the week should I give them as a day of rest? Moshe says to Paro, give them the seventh day. Seemingly, the way that this story goes is that Moshe was not fully aware of what day of the week Shabbos would be, which is interesting because I don't know how he would not know that. But okay, Moshe did not know what day of the week Shabbos would be. But he sort of like guessed it. He sort of sensed that would be the right day. Then when Hashem gave Moshe the Torah and he told him there's something called Shabbos on the seventh day of the week, then Moshe was so excited. Moshe rejoiced, and that's what we're referring to when we say Yismach Moshe. We're focusing on the fact that Moshe was so excited. What was he specifically so excited about? That he figured out when Shabbos was before God actually commanded the Jewish people with the mitzvah of Shabbos. And then finally, we know a Gemara that we've quoted weeks and weeks ago, is the notion of the statement when the Gemara tells us Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, that Hashem said to Moshe, how does the line go? So Hashem says to Moshe, Matana Tova Yishli Beveis Genaza, that I have a special gift in my storehouse, and Shabbos Shemo, and Shabbos is his name. It took me a second there, right? But that Hashem told Moshe that I have a special gift to give you, and that gift is Shabbos. And so since Moshe also was the central person in that conversation with Hashem, therefore he makes a lot of sense that we are focusing on him, because it's Shabbos. Torah makes a lot of sense that Moshe should be the central figure over here. So again, We're mentioning Moshe not because we're trying to necessarily learn from him, which is how you maybe would expect bringing up a biblical character in our tefillos, because we want to model them. It seems like we're not trying to model Moshe per se. Of course, we're always trying to model Moshe, but that's not exactly what's going on over here. We're mentioning him because of his critical role that he played in the giving of the Torah, and in particular in receiving the commandment of keeping Shabbos. And Rabbi Soloveitchik actually notes one additional idea. He says, let's move away from this idea that we're focusing on Moshe, and let's just focus on the fact that we're speaking about an individual person in our Shabbos morning davening. On Friday night, what was the main theme of Friday night davening? So I know it was a while ago already, so it's hard to remember, but I'll remind you. The main theme of Friday night is Atah Kidashta. Who's the Atah in Atah Kidashta that you sanctified? Hashem, you are the one who sanctified. So Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that the Friday night is all about focusing on Hashem in our Shmona Esrei, that Hashem is the one who sanctifies, but then Rabbi Soloveitchik says that Shabbos morning is focusing on the individual. Who is the one who can bring Shabbos to the next level? Who is the one that Shabbos was given to? Not just Moshe, but human beings in general. If God is the central theme of our Shmona Esrei on Friday night, then human beings are the central theme of our Shmona Esrei on Shabbos morning, focusing on the greatness of man and our ability to make Shabbos all that much greater in keeping this holy day and being able to work on our relationship with the Almighty. Okay, that was the paragraph of Yismach Moshe. The next paragraph of Vishamru is a beautiful paragraph, and as we spoke a little bit about it either last week or a few weeks ago, and Vishamru is just an incredible paragraph because of the fact that it notes how special Shabbos is. What makes Shabbos so special? In a word, what makes Shabbos so special? If I were to ask you, scream it out with your mics muted, the word is that you're all screaming out, os. That Shabbos is an os, it's an oath, that it's a sign between us and Hashem, right? The Jewish people only have a few things that are referred to as an os. Three things in particular. Shabbos is referred to as an os, tefillin are referred to as an os, and bris milah is referred to as an os. So one of those three signs in which we sort of return to every every single week, right? So obviously tefillin we have every day of the week other than Shabbos and Yom Tov. Bris Mila, for those of us who are men, have that with us hopefully all the time. When it comes to I'm glad some of you laughed at that. When it comes to Shabbos, so Shabbos is sort of like the rarest one of all, I guess you can say, because it's the one that we interact with the least. And as a result of that, I think that's sort of what we're highlighting over here in the paragraph of Vishamru, that God has given us an additional sign, an incredible sign, that by which we live our lives, that we that Shabbos is at the center of it all. We go through our entire week, we work for 6 days, and then we get to that sign, we get to that center of it all. We get to Shabbos, we get to that seventh day, and that's what enables us to get through the rest of the week, because it's the day that sort of keeps us clinged to the Almighty. It keeps us clinged to our Creator, because it's the day in which we take a break and realize that it's all about being connected to our Creator. I think that's what Vishamru is about, at least one aspect of it. Then finally we have this last paragraph, again, the last unique paragraph of Shabbos morning, and that is Velo Nisato. That if you read the first few words, it's such a fascinating perspective that we're going with. It's Velo Nisato Hashem Elokinu Legoyei Haaretzos. This paragraph is speaking all about the special exclusivity of Shabbos to the Jewish nation, meaning that there are a lot of aspects, even in the Torah itself, that were given to the other nations of the world. For example, we had the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach, right, so the notion of not killing, of not stealing, so the non-Jews got that too. And even other mitzvos that we don't other mitzvos that we don't necessarily go about giving out to other nations, there are certain morals and certain ethics that the Torah believes in that other nations of the world perhaps have perceived and realized that that is a good way to live their lives as well. You want to know something that's totally exclusive to the Jewish people? That is Shabbos. There's nothing quite like Shabbos that any other nation has. Maybe other religions, I think we spoke about this a little bit last week. Other nations might have a concept of like a day of rest, and we know we have blue laws still in Bergen County and in New Jersey. But the notion of the day of rest per se, nothing like that in any other religion to the extent that the Jewish people have, and therefore the paragraph of Velo Nisato is meant for us to drive into our minds to realize how special it is that we are the only ones on the entire face of the earth, just our small nation, that is given the ability, given the bracha, given the blessing to be able to experience this holy day every 7 days of Shabbos. And Rabbi Sachs points out that we noted I think in our first year, this was I think already 4 weeks ago, so I don't expect anyone to remember at this point, but that there are basically three different common themes that we try to shtup in all of the Shabbos tefillos, meaning that we say that the three major times of Shabbos davening, Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shabbos afternoon, that they fit into some sort of a progression. One progression is to say that the evening is about creation, that the morning is about revelation, and that the afternoon is about redemption. That's one model. Another model is to speak about the fact that this is a little bit maybe very relevant for the day that we're on, the English day, right? That Friday night is about Shabbos past, Shabbos morning is about Shabbos present, and Shabbos afternoon is about Shabbos future. And I'll show you where I'm going with this in a second. And then the other perspective is to say that maybe Friday night is all about the betrothal, the kiddushin. Shabbos morning is all about marriage, specifically because of the simcha, the yismach Moshe, the actual marriage process. And then finally, Shabbos afternoon is all about yichud, right? Our intimate connection with Hashem. And basically, what Rabbi Sachs explains is that through our Shabbos morning davening, and in particular through our Shabbos morning Shmona Esrei, we see all of these themes as they come to in this Shmona Esrei, right? So, number one, the idea that Shabbos morning is about revelation, well, that's very clear in this first paragraph of Yismach Moshe. Of course it's about revelation. That's why we're speaking about the fact that we received the Torah. We speak about the present, right? That Shabbos morning represents the present Shabbos. Well, that's why we mentioned the paragraph of Vishamru, that we are observing Shabbos. And then finally, we speak about the fact that Shabbos morning is a marriage, that this is an exclusive situation. Well, that's really a theme in a lot of these paragraphs. But in particular, the paragraph of Yismach Moshe talks about the joy, the simcha of marriage, and maybe you could even say the paragraph of Velo Nisato speaks about maybe the exclusivity of marriage. And therefore, what you find at the end of the day is that very clearly there's no major revelations here, right? If you've been paying attention at all in Shabbos morning davening, none of this is meant to be mechanical. Kaddish, but rather to be mitarer, to awaken us a little bit, to realize the greatness of Shabbos morning davening, because in essence, all it is the second step in this beautiful process that, of this day that we call Shabbos. Friday night, we begin this relationship with Hashem, we begin with that reconnection. Shabbos morning, we're already in the thick of it. We're already saying, now we're really close to Hashem, and we're molding that experience, and we're reminding ourselves, wow, how amazing is this day? This is the day that we got the Torah. This is the day that's a special sign between us and Hashem, a special oath, and this is a day that's exclusively for us and for no other nation. As we say this prayer, God willing, the Shabbos, as we go into Shabbos this week, let us realize and recognize the true beauty in Shabbos morning davening, in its simple beauty, that it just brings home this idea for us about how amazing Shabbos is and how much there is to get from it, how much there is to gain from it. I want to wish everyone a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos. That was